Like for you to take your Bibles and open them to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, where we shall begin to consider identity. Identity is an important thing. Some people struggle with that. Those of us who are Christians should have no such issues, but I'm sure there are numbers of us who do. Simply for failing to acknowledge the identity that we have in our Lord, identity in Christ, how we are identified with Him and with His accomplishments. Interestingly, this past week, the federal government, according to Bloomberg, which is a news organization, has officially cataloged 70,000 ways to get sick, hurt, mortally injured, or die, I suppose. 70,000. And perhaps there's more ways than that. I don't know. And people identify with these things. They go to a doctor, for example, and the doctor says, well, you know, you have, I don't know, some kind of impetigo of the impetigo, something like that. Yeah, I'm not going to say what you thought, Sue. Sue's smiling at me, ready to shake her head in disbelief. Or you have, you know, some kind of weird disease. And so people identify with that. Well, you know, they become a victim, or they become, I have cancer. And that's what identifies them. But it shouldn't. A disease shouldn't identify you, nor should anything else in life other than you're being a child of God. People will say, well, you know, I'm a wife, or I'm a mother, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a lawyer, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a musician, and this is their identity. But there's so much more than that in life, especially when you're talking about the material world, which is, it's temporary. If a person is a musician in life, that will cease when their life ceases. But as a child of God, your life goes through eternity, because the spirit that God's placed within you is eternal. And so our identity, which is so very important, is established not by what we think we are in life, or not by what the world says we are in life, or not by what some malady that our bodies, our physical bodies, contract, or anything like that. And certainly all those things are, we're talking about the U.S. government and identifying officially 70,000 ways to get sick, hurt, or mortally injured. That's just a promotion of fear and a way to control people. And so with that in mind, let's consider what Romans chapter 6 has to say. What shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because, you know, grace saves us. We're saved by grace through faith. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, now, if you're dead to sin, then sin is not an issue. If you're dead to it, you're free from it. Know ye not, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism. Now, baptism is a big issue in Christianity, has been, still is, and probably will continue until the Lord's return. There are many Christian religions, Christian denominations, where they have different viewpoints on what baptism is. Most of them associate it with an immersion in water. And, of course, they have water baptism, hence the denomination known as Baptist. And even within that denomination, there are sects, S-E-C-T-S, different divisions within that particular denomination that hold different viewpoints on different things. Baptism with an immersion in water. Some believe that baptism can be a sprinkling of water. Some believe the bishop must do this. Some believe that you can do what they call a dry baptism. Others simply hold with the baptism in spirit. Some say you must have both. Truth is, the word baptism or the word baptize simply means immersed. It doesn't have anything to do with water or anything else. It must be understood, the meaning of the word baptism, and I'm using the English word, which of course comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means the same thing. It means to be immersed. Could be anything. I like to think mayonnaise. You know, it could be mayonnaise. It could be anything. It could be water. But the only way you can know what the immersion is from the context in which the word baptism is set. Now clearly, here, in the book of Romans, which is a foundational doctrine for the New Testament, some call it the Magna Carta of Christianity, here, ignorance is confronted. Know you not? In other words, don't you know that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore, because of that, we are buried with him by what? Baptism. So what further need have we of being immersed in anything else? We are immersed in Jesus Christ and all of his accomplishments when he died. And so what further need have any of us? Why must we be identified as, well, a Christian, for example? If you ask them, they might say, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic. And I can remember when we lived in New York when I was a kid, I remember having friends who were Catholic, and they so identified with being Catholic, it was like you couldn't change that. It's as though, well, you know, you're an Italian, you're born in Italy, you can't change the fact that you're Italian. Or if you're Irish, your family comes from Ireland, you can't change the fact that your ethnicity is Irish, or Spanish, or Portuguese, or whatever. You can't change that. If you're born a Greek, well, ethnically speaking, you're a Greek, right? But aren't you more than that? How could your identity be your denomination? Especially when the Word of God says we're identified with Jesus Christ. We're immersed in him. And whatever you're immersed in, that's what you are. Therefore, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not, pardon me, serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Just like the man who's been sent to prison, put on death row, convicted of some heinous crime, and given capital punishment. Once that man has received the capital punishment, or that woman, then they're, after that event takes place, they're what? Free to go. However, tough to go someplace when you're dead like that, right? Well, spiritually speaking, our old man was crucified with Christ dead. It's dead. Now, your old man is, we all have an old man. That old man is as old as you are, as old as you were until the time you received the new man, which is God in Christ in you. Some call it the new birth. Some call it being saved. But it's definitely being filled with God's Spirit. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Holy Spirit. And it entitles us to eternity. For it's that Spirit of God that makes us a child of God. That's our identity. You are a child of God. That's who you are. Everything else is part of the old man, even your occupation, really. Because all of that is in the physical or material realm. And when all that's dead, you're free from it. You're free from all of that. For he that's dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing. You see this word knowing, and don't you know? This comes up several times here. It's a question of knowledge versus ignorance. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And yet, in church after church, they crucify him every Sunday. You know, a mass is a celebration of the dead. That's what that is. And they do it over and over and over and over again. How many times can a person die? Just once, right? For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God, because death hath no more dominion over him. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the first command in the Bible, in the New Testament, at least that I'm aware of. And we are told to reckon. That means think, consider, account that you are indeed dead to sin. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, it's interesting that the word yield in English is used there. You know, we have that term used here in Alaska and other places, in our laws of the road. You know, the highways and byways have yield signs, don't they? In fact, we have two actually, on the road off which we live. It's called Springer Loop. And there is a yield sign by the Palmer Municipal Airport and Golf Course. And then there's another one at the opposite end of that loop. And, you know, nobody ever, ever, ever pays attention to that yield sign. I don't know why it's there. You know, yield means it's on you to give way. That's what yield means. It means you decide to stop, you decide to give up, you decide to say yes. That's what yield means. It's not an absolute stop. It's not you must. It means you have to decide to obey. And so we have to decide. You see, being saved and having the identity of being a child of God is not automatic in terms of practicality. You have to decide what to do in your life. You hear Christians talk about the Lord using them as an instrument. That's never going to happen. You have to decide to yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness. That's up to us. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? You know, some people use grace as a license to sin. God forbid. Know ye not? Again, don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The entire world celebrates licentiousness. It does. These different things that entertain people in culture are nothing more but a celebration of ribaldry. That's all it is. Dysfunction, and just a justification for orgy. That's all it is. Well, you see, everybody's doing it, so let yourself go. Well, if you're having fun doing that kind of stuff, you're not free, you see. No matter how they want to make it sound, look, you're free to do whatever you want. You know, people get that tattoo. Only God can judge me. That's just an excuse to do whatever, that there's no restraints. Thinking that's freedom. That is not freedom. No matter who you obey, you are servant to whoever you obey. If you obey sin, you are a servant to sin. Servant is just a nice way of saying slave. So you can choose to be a slave of righteousness by your free will choice, or a slave of sin. And the thing with sin is, once people become a slave to unrighteousness, they can't get out of it. It's like pulling teeth to change. You can be a slave to God, and you can change your mind at any time, because He will never stop you. He will never possess you. He will never force you. Everything is up to us. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made what? Free from sin. Free. That's true freedom. Your identity is you're a freeman. You're a free woman. You're a free man. You're free. Free to serve God. Free from sin. And now you can become, by your free will choice, a servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you've become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin, death. But the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the contrast. The wages of sin. A wage of sin is, you got to work for it. You get paid. That you get a wage for labor, don't you? They don't just give you that. It's not a gift, is it? But righteousness, eternal life, the gift of God, it's free. What a contrast. In Christ, I am everything. In Him, I am free. In Him, you are free. In Christ, you're everything. In myself, I'm nothing. Or anybody else. People act like who they think they might be, but in yourself, you're nothing really. In Christ, you're everything. In yourself, you're in bondage. In Christ, you're free. Look in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 30. Second to the last verse in that chapter. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. In Him you are wise and righteousness. In Him you are righteous and sanctification. In Him you are sanctified, that is to say, made holy. In Him you have redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In Him you're everything. That's your identity. Look in the Gospel of John. As such we can serve, as free men and women, children of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the husbandman, the caretaker. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. If you take a vine, say a grapevine, or any plant for that matter, and you cut a branch off it and separate it from the fruit tree or the fruit vine, what happens to it? It dries up and dies. Does it produce fruit while it's laying there, separated from the vine or the plant or the tree? Of course not. Well, in like fashion, when you are separated from the Master, you're not going to bring forth any fruit. People think, oh, I can do this by myself. No, Because without him, we're nothing. In him, we're everything, spiritually speaking. It doesn't matter what heights people rise to in the material realm. It really doesn't matter, because how long is it? How long does it last? Here today, gone tomorrow. It goes fast too, baby, let me tell you. Life is but a vapor, the word says. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. In Christ, we're everything. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And of course, it goes on. What a tremendous truth. He talks in there about, I call you friends now. Well, not just servants. He was talking to the disciples and the apostles of the day. He said, hitherto I don't call you servants anymore. Now you're friends. Well, look in Galatians chapter 3. Because we're not just friends. We have that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But we're children. God is our Father, even as God is His Father. That makes Him our brother. We're siblings, spiritual siblings. We are children of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. The Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up, unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, are we talking water? Are we talking dunked in water? We're talking baptized in what? In Christ. Baptized in the Messiah, like we read before in Romans. Baptized, immersed in Him, because we've been baptized unto His death, and we will be glorified like He was glorified when He was resurrected. And everything that He accomplished for us is ours. And when we received Him by faith, we were baptized. In other words, immersed in all of that. That's our identity. Righteous, justified, redeemed. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. So you're not a man, you're not a woman. You're not a Jew, you're not a Greek. You're not bound, not a slave, you're not free. You are all one. It makes no difference. That's our identity. All one in Christ Jesus, children of God. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And Abraham's promise, as we've learned in previous teachings, was what? Land. But that's a future reality. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, you see, because you can't be an heir if you don't get a what? Help me out here. What does an heir get? An inheritance. And we know, as I mentioned, that that has to do with Abraham's promise, the blessing of Abraham. You can look it up. An heir is, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. You know, it's kind of like Batman and Bruce Wayne. Young Bruce Wayne, he's a ward, right? He doesn't get to do all the things that he's going to get to do when he becomes mature Bruce Wayne. And he takes over Wayne Enterprises, which of course we know is to be evil, Wayne Enterprises. But he'll fix that. But right now, it's Alfred who's taking care of young Bruce Wayne, right? For all you comic book fans or Gotham fans. Well, you get the point, right? No matter how much of an heir you are, if you're a child, you're under tutors, governors, schoolmasters, right? Because children, they don't know what they're doing, do they? The word says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Truer words have never existed. Until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, by the same standard, were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive sonship. Adoption of sons, sonship. And because your sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Not a servant, not even a friend any longer. Bigger than that, a child. And look, in Romans chapter 8, this is in Him. Apart from Him, we're nothing. In Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Him we are not condemned. Look in Romans 12, and verse 5. So, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In Him, you and I are one. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is our identity, people. Our identity is established, completed, solid, and without alteration in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, you know, in life, in the material world, your identity can change in a heartbeat. You could do all these good things in life, but do one bad thing, they don't remember the good things, right? In verse 17, this never changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. In Him we are new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Him you are new. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Him we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Look in the Gospel of John. The 14th chapter. John 14. John 14. Verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Him we have truth. In Him we have life. In Him we have a way to the Father. Apart from Him, we do not have a way to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Apart from Him, we do not have life, for there's none other name among men, given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. In Him we don't have truth, because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But in Him we have all these things, and so much more. Look in Colossians chapter 3. This is our identity. There need be no confusion. There be no identity crisis. Remember who you are. Remember what God has made you to be. And everything else will become virtually insignificant in comparison. Verse 1. Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, and that of course is figuratively speaking, because we're baptized with Him, died with Him, raised with Him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our lives are hidden in Christ. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members upon the earth for fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which are idolatry, for which things' sake cometh the wrath of God and the children of disobedience. Look in chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 1. I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full understanding, full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look in Romans chapter 3, please. Romans 3. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, how? Freely, by his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. In Christ we have redemption, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation. In him we are bought back, a total payment for sin and its consequences, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin. In him we have remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. In him we are justified. I've heard that said in the past as just like you never sinned. Justification means sanctified and made holy. That's what it means. It's a legal term. It means cleared from all guilt and made righteous. Romans 4, last place we're going to go. We're right there. Go to verse 23. Talking about what Abraham our father found pertaining to faith and righteousness. And what he found was, it's by faith, not by works. And verse 23 says, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, because righteousness was imputed to him, to his account, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have peace with God, by whom also we have access. In him we have access to God by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by Holy Spirit, which was given on us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In him we are saved from the wrath to come. For if when we're enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom now we have received the atonement. In him we are made as one. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if, through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In him we can reign in life. Kings and queens reign. Princes and princesses reign. Royalty reigns. In him we are royal. Apart from him, we are nothing. That's our identity. And it's established, maintained, secured, solidified, and made permanent by Jesus Christ. It's up to us to remember it, to live by it, and to not allow the world to talk us out of it. In this poem which I found, some of which has got some minor inaccuracies in it, but most of it is just very perceptive, very comprehensive. In it, I find some great truths which sort of give us an overview of some of the things we just looked at. The poem is entitled, Who Am I in Christ? It was written by a woman named Deborah Ann Belka. And it reads as follows. Who am I in Christ? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am his new creation. I am predestined. I am chosen. I am adopted. I am a son of God. I am God's child. I am a child of light. I am a child of the day. I am God's bride. I am God's clay. I am God's future. I am God's hope. I am alive to God. I am destined. I am called. I am loved. I am bought with a price. I am redeemed. I am set free from sin. I am joined to the Lord. I am alive by grace. I am justified. I am forgiven. I am sanctified. I am reconciled. I am transformed. I am renewed. I am made perfect. I am dead to sin. I am a slave to righteousness. I am baptized with the Holy Spirit. I am a partner of Jesus Christ. I am his temple. I am his building. I am his field. I am his branch. I am his follower. I am his fellow worker. I am his ambassador. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am sober-minded and watchful. I am armed. I am his warrior. I am his friend. I am being trained in righteousness. I am created for good works. I am a doer of the word. I am kind. I am humble. I am meek. I am patient. I am loving. I am fruitful. I am steadfast. I am gentle. I am faithful. I am never alone. I am never hungry. I am never thirsty. I am sealed for the day of redemption. I am called to eternal glory. I am the aroma of Christ to God. I am crucified with Christ. I am not ashamed. I am a sinner. I am forgiven. I am born again, and I am going to heaven. Who are you without Christ?